And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU, bringing you the news and stories you don't get to have adequately reported in the corporate media. We're bringing you that every Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. here on 93.3 CFMU FM, which you can find online on our website at cfmu.ca. That was Lou's Control just before me. Great show. Lou is always bringing in a new program. He's so consistent, so reliable, and so popular. So thank you very much, Lou. So we have some live new programming this week. I promised a spring summer season would have new interviews, even live in studio interviews like today. In fact, I'm joined today by Rania, and she is with the student encampment here at McMaster, part of a divestment campaign. Hello, Rania. Thanks for coming in today.
Hi, Brendan. Thank you so much for having me.
So I was watching CHCH news Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, today, and I'm glad that they went to the encampment, interviewed some people. You know, it was a little disappointing that they could only give about 12 seconds to everyone they spoke to.
Yeah.
And of course, they always have to go to the other side for almost as much time. But what's happening here at McMaster is spectacular. It's part of a continent-wide and now a global, a worldwide movement. That means that McMaster, U of T, universities across Canada, universities across the United States, Chicago, UCLA, you name it, they're all spectacular and underreported. And that's an...
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix that. I'm trying to alleviate that today. Rania was nice enough to come in as one of the media spokespersons for the encampment. They have a new organization. So, I mean, right off the bat, we have to kind of, you know, outline the fact that we have a new group on campus to address the issue of creating and maintaining an encampment. I got the Instagram page here. It's like McMaster Apartheid Divest. So if you go to instagram.com/McMaster Apartheid Divest, that's all one word, you'll find it. I guess if they just look up McMaster Apartheid Divest.
Yeah, it should show up. Yeah.
Okay, so if you go there, it has posts right from the beginning of what it is. You know, it's starting up. There's a bit of a history to it. Some of the professors on this campus previously were working as part of the Anti-Apartheid Committee back in 1986. So I guess you could say there's some history and some precedent behind this organization.
Yes, definitely. McMaster Apartheid Divest is nothing new. The Instagram page is new, but the movements and the efforts to kind of have the university abide by our demands has remained for a long time. Essentially, what the encampment is for is exactly what the other universities are also protesting. University of Toronto, McGill, and now McMaster. We have been in constant communication with the university administration for the past 7 months to essentially cut all ties with Israeli institutions and universities. A full academic boycott, as stated in the Canadian BDS boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, that is a global movement for Palestinian liberation. And our main demands that you will find on the McMaster Apartheid Divest page is the four famous words: disclose, divest, boycott, and declare. And the reason why we have resorted to this encampment is because in constant for the past 7 months, there has been no concrete action taken by McMaster University when there's a clear complicity and silence of our institution. We want to get them to disclose any and all financial investments in weapon companies that support the Israeli military, defense contractors, any companies that are on exclusively on the BDS list. First, we want them to disclose that, any and all ties and investments that they make, so that the students are aware of it. Because our tuition should not be going to weapon companies that clearly fund a genocide. The next step is to divest from those companies. Divest from the companies, defense contractors, and any companies on the BDS list that should be boycotted, because in 2015, there was also a BDS motion that was resolved. So McMaster University should be abiding by and supporting the BDS union.
Well, that's a really good point. I might just have to interrupt briefly. Yes, I covered that a little bit, that there was a very successful campaign in the 2010s.
Yes.
And many students got together. They had to lobby the MSU. They had to go through very grueling, difficult vote process there. That there were many obstacles put in their way. But they finally, after a lot of, you know, gerrymandering and whatever, were able to have a vote on this. And yes, the students voted for BDS, for boycott, divestment, sanctions, in the previous decade. And McMaster was supposed to implement that resolution,
yes,
I believe.
Yes. And this includes any all solidarity with Palestinian movements, and they're supposed to obviously reject and suppress any anti-Palestinian racism that comes with that. And one of our demands also is in the boycott section is to declare that they place the Arab Canadian Lawyers Association definition of anti-Palestinian racism, so that if any students and allies who are advocating for the Palestinian cause experience anti-Palestinian racism, there is a formal policy and formal definition that they have to abide by to protect students and to not obviously have them silenced for speaking out for Palestinian rights.
Right. So the sense I'm getting here is that the students in the past 10, 15 years, and specifically now, and a lot of professors too, they don't want to see McMaster University invested in apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to see McMaster University invested in occupation, in illegal settlements,
yes,
in universities that are perhaps profiting from research and technology and investments there.
Yes.
So you want to be divested essentially from the occupation.
Yes, 100%. All ties. I can give you an example. So the reason why we put our demand disclose before divest is because even with the recent efforts over the past school year that we've made for the academic boycott, there's information that's public on McMaster's website, such as there are ties and research partnerships with the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And there are also ties with Haifa Technion University. And there's not only research ties, but there's trips that students can take to those universities from McMaster University. But even when we knew that information, there was also, we only recently found out before our academic boycott protest, that there is a co-op program that McMaster has with L3Harris. That is an aerospace technology company, and they have weaponry, and they create weaponry that directly goes to the IDF or the IOF. And for example, like students here, they wouldn't even know that the sensors that they're building for certain technologies is actually going to the Israeli universities, that the same universities that then fund and help the IDF create these bombs. And
well, these sensors, these optics and other devices made by L3 and Westcam, they could be used in things like drones, for example, right?
Yes, yes. And that the drones as well, there's been, I know CUPE, they did a protest against the McMaster's investment in drones. And that's exactly why, regarding this genocide, we want them to divest from all apartheid and occupation.
You know, because you mentioned L3, Westcam, that rang a bell. I'm with, you know, anti-war groups in the city. And, of course, there's a long history of protesting L3, Westcam, and Burlington.
Yes.
They've been part of the U.S. drone program as well for its wars abroad, Afghanistan and Iraq and so on. So it's an ongoing problem that we continue to supply research and equipment for these things.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with Rania. She is with the encampment here at McMaster, specifically McMaster Apartheid Divest. It's the divestment committee that is organizing student encampment here at McMaster University, one of many burgeoning student encampments springing up all over North America and the world. So McMaster is with it today and this week and this month. We're very pleased about that. Now, anyone that needs to get more information about that, the Instagram page has been very helpful. So if they go to the Instagram, they're going to find the demands in the sense of you're asking for divestment and not participating in apartheid research and institutions. So those are clearly laid out in several ways. You have a kind of a detailed sequence of photograph images that talk about the demands. And then there's a kind of executive summary a few days later where there's, once again, they sort of have a short list of what the demands are. So people can become very accustomed with that. So I highly recommend that people go and look up McMaster Apartheid Divest, especially on Instagram, where they can find why students are encamped here at McMaster University to ensure that the university is divested from apartheid and from genocide. So one of the issues here is you want to have support from both the campus and outside of the campus.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first issue is faculty. We know that many students are involved in this encampment, obviously, as that is the nature of these encampments.
Mm-hmm. But
do you also have support from faculty?
100%. Actually, there was an Instagram page that was recently created. It's called Faculty for Palestine. And they uploaded an official statement also condemning the Scholasticide in Gaza and to also pressure the university to cut ties with Israeli institutions. And there's about 108 signatures so far from all sorts of faculty members. There have been faculty members present during the encampment as well. They have also taken media interviews and shedding light on the support that comes from both sides, not just the students. And that's one example of the faculty being involved. And there's been events on campus throughout the year as the genocide has gone on. There's faculty support circles and efforts since October 2023 as the Faculty for Palestine movement began, and it's constantly growing, and they echo the same demands that we do to divest from apartheid and occupation.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, if people get involved in the social media for this, they go on Instagram and TikTok and so on, they're going to find that there's a lot of related organizations. And Faculty for Palestine is one of those organizations that has representation here at McMaster University. Mm-hmm. So you can also find from them what they're doing to support these encampments and these projects. And it's one of the allies of this project. So another area where you're probably looking for support is from the labor unions.
Yes.
QP3906 is typically very good at supporting these kind of initiatives, from the student strike to the L3 Westcam activities,
yes,
the anti-arms trade things and so forth. Mm-hmm. I imagine, for starters, 3906 is involved here.
Yes, it's not just 3906. QP has been very active and involved in our movement so far, and even before the encampment took place as well. And to my knowledge, I'm not on the specific team that deals with the labor unions, but we have a labor for Palestine movement being formed, and there are currently communications with them to draft a statement as well, declare support for our encampment.
I'm less familiar with the other unions that might be helping. I know there's a staff union, Unifor, at McMaster, and there may be other unions as well. Maybe you can tell us about that. And also, I do know the Hamilton District Labor Council has endorsed this encampment. So are you getting support from outside as well?
There's definitely been lots of support from outside. I cannot comment specifically on the union aspect of it, but in terms of outside, we had politicians Sarah Jama and Matthew Green join us on the first day, and they did a wonderful speech. But we had Palestinian Youth Movement Toronto Mohammed William also speak on our behalf. I'm sorry I couldn't comment on the unions, but we do have a lot of endorsed support that has been coming and is coming as well.
Well, it's very heartening. You mentioned Sarah Jama and Matthew Green.
Yeah.
They're in the parliament and they're wearing their keffiyehs. I mean, we're wearing keffiyehs right now here.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder to do that in the legislature, in the parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Sarah Jama has taken the brunt of this or a lot of the flack from this. It's very brave. You should be able to wear this. And I know the fight 100%. Is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very important thing to support as well. Just as Sarah Jama and Matthew Green are supporting the encampment, people should be supporting their ability to wear a keffiyeh in office there. So, yeah, we'll follow up on the issue of union support. I know to this program and listeners, it's very interesting, and we're going to continue looking into that. So, before I came here today, I briefly visited the encampment, and it's very interesting. It's organized. There's like a daily schedule.
Yes.
And so, they write down the morning, and then there's going to be this, and then a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can even sort of, they can cross out what professor spoke the day before and put in the next one,
mm-hmm.
kind of. So
yeah.
That's convenient. Mm-hmm. And there's a supply tent as well, and people are bringing things in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess for those who are not on the campus right now, if they come to the campus and walk by the student center and past it, what are they going to see? What are they going to see as they approach the encampment, as they walk into it?
Yeah, so our encampment is taking place on BSB Field. We renamed it the People's University for Palestine at McMaster. And when you first walk in, or when you pass the field, there's going to be a fence. And there's lots of beautiful signs. There's a huge flag that says Student Intifada. And there's one entry point. And when you get there, there's an info desk, and we have rules put in place to ensure the safety for all students, and for whoever attends the encampment, they have to just read the rules, abide by them, and then they're free to go. And there's tents specifically for people, that's like obviously for tents for them to sleep in. And there's beautiful tents, like there's one called Rifat Al-Arir Library, and it's a tent that's filled with a bunch of educational books on Palestine.
Wait, that's named after the educator.
Educator
who was killed by Israel.
Yes, exactly. And he's exactly one of the people that obviously were fighting for all people of Palestine. But Rifat Al-Arir, he was one of the most prominent scholars of Gaza, and he was killed in an airstrike. And that's just one example of, you know, one of the over 100 professors that have been killed along with the students, and traces of academia, like what he created and the works that he contributed. We have to preserve those and remind the university of their complicity in having to, obviously, they have to condemn this scholasticide. And I know I'm kind of going off topic of your question, but apart from that tent, there's lots of activities. Like, you'll see people gathered in circles. We have healing circles from Palestinian psychotherapists. We have teach-ins almost every day. And actually, that was, at 3:30, there was a daily teach-in with a master's student who specialized in global politics. Lots of wonderful speakers. We have so much food by the generous donations of our community. So there's a big food table. And there's people painting signs, and there's chalk all over the sidewalk. And so people have activities like that. There's spoken word poetry. There's lots of creative activities taking place all simultaneously.
Yes, it seems like a very organized, very civilized encampment. I guess you want people that they come in and they're to participate and behave respectfully.
Of
and, you know, so I had a coffee there. I went to the supply tent, and mm-hmm. there was coffee, so that's good. I mean, it's people need to bring supplies in. The Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War dropped off some drinking boxes and juice boxes and like muffin stuff, but I guess you need regular donations of that. So if someone from outside campus wanted to drop off food supplies, what should they do?
Yeah, so on our Instagram page, there's a link in our bio, and it's basically a sign-up sheet for any donations. So it will tell, once you open that link and you find the document, it'll say what's needed, what does not need to be donated. So for example, we're extremely stocked on granola bars and snacks and produce, so we don't need any of that. But there's a sign-up sheet that is there, and there's also a Telegram that people can join as well, that where we update it live and send messages every day to kind of obviously give the daily announcements, put the program there, and also let people know that, hey, if anyone in the community wants to drop by and drop off X, Y, and Z, they can do that. We're also very open on our email as well. Instagram, they can just contact us directly, and we've been dealing with directly messaging people and answering their inquiries about what they want to bring, if they want to bring it, when they can bring it, etc. So our communications are open for all of that.
This is CFMU 93.3 on your FM dial, and you're listening to Unusual Sources, broadcasting live in studio with Rania from the encampment from McMaster Apartheid Divest, which is the main organization that is setting up the encampment here at McMaster. So yes, there's community participation, there's basically supplies coming in, food and otherwise. Is there financial support? Is it possible for people outside to donate in some way?
I think money-wise, there definitely has been lots of notable donations. They can definitely e-transfer and send any donations that way. It's been very, very much appreciated. So not only food, but we are also accepting monetary donations as well.
One of the things I've noticed about this encampment and the student protests and encampments in South Ontario is that they're very media savvy.
Yes.
Not just the use of modern social media and things like that, but also the way you talk to the media. I found that ever since the first demonstration after October 7 in mm-hmm. Toronto, the student groups, Palestine Youth Movement and others, they have designated spokespeople.
Yes.
And I guess that's so the media can't just pick out some random passerby
exactly.
and they could say all sorts of ignorant things,
exactly,
which they would then put on the television and
yes.
repeat endlessly. So
yes.
there hasn't been much of that. I've actually heard that the corporate media is complaining, and they're saying, look, the students, they're so organized. And we try to talk to people in the crowd, and they say, please talk to the designated media representatives.
Yes.
So they're actually whining. They're saying it's authoritarian and so on. But it's just that they can't pull the usual tricks
yep.
as easily. So
mm-hmm.
I was very pleased to see that. Are you satisfied with the corporate media coverage, or you're getting some, what, CHCH Global, you're getting that?
I think we tend to stay away from Global News and National Post. They seem very Zionist, and so we're very selective about who we allow into our encampment in terms of journalists. And so, for example, CHC, for the links that have been sent so far, a lot of it has actually been in our favor, and they're being very objective, and they're reporting it, and they're using a lot of quotes that we directly, it's either directly from our Instagram page, or they speak to people like me who are a media liaison, and they input whatever they can into their article. But then at the same time, sometimes there's been a little bit of like miswording. So for example, they will pick and choose quotes from our provost who claims that our encampment, it's disappointing, quote unquote, that we reached to this level of encampment, but that these are the serious measures that we have to take when there's no concrete action being taken. But I forgot what I read this morning, but there's also, I think, I'm not sure which outlet reported it, but there was an article saying that it wasn't as safe, but there was just a little bit of miswording in terms of, oh, that we were told not to speak to the police or campus security. But the actual reality is that we have a wonderful relationship with campus security because we are dealing with them and they're helping to keep us safe, and we keep ourselves safe, and we're more than capable of organizing and helping students feel safe, and we're collaborating with campus security. And sometimes the articles kind of misconstrue that and say that we're not being cooperative with them, but it's actually the opposite.
Well, that's interesting. It's something I haven't thought about too much, but of course McMaster has reacted to the encampment. So how do you feel about their overall reaction to the encampment? And, I mean, at what point do you think you'd be satisfied in which you could dismantle the encampment?
100%. We will be satisfied and be able to disband when the university abides by all of our demands. The response from the university has quite honestly been very disappointing because we want to obviously meet with them so that they can tell us what to bring back to the encampment and what to tell the students. But for the past week, the main issue that the president and Susan Tai, the provost, they keep saying is that, oh, we're concerned about the health and safety of our students, and we want to do everything to ensure that we maintain the health and safety of the students on campus. But why we keep ourselves safe, and we are capable of organizing and making sure that students are safe and healthy, and your attention and your time should be thinking about how to not be complicit in this genocide and to review. And actually only, I think this morning or yesterday was the first time that the team actually did an in-depth look and research into the ties that they have with Israeli institutions, when we've been meeting with them for 7 months prior, and we need you to look into that a lot earlier and abide by our demands. So the fact that they only did it this week, just so that they have something to kind of be informed of when they eventually come to meet with us and negotiate, that's very telling. And so the meeting that was like taken place today, it's just the same meetings that we've had for the past 7 months. We're not here to have you choose one opinion over the other, or like the only opinion that you really should be having is what is McMaster going to do to divest from all apartheid and occupation, and when are you going to make a, it's not a question of if, it's when are you going to make a statement condemning Israel's genocide in Gaza, and when are you actually going to physically take action?
Well, the fact that they're looking at these policies now shows the power of collective action.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you've got to stay organized. And I think going forward, maintaining this level of organization is key. So you've been doing a great job so far, and you've got a lot of attention. That's good. And people mm-hmm. should be investigating to get the fine details of all of this.
Yes.
So I had mentioned the Instagram page. Let me just check again. That is McMaster Apartheid Divest. So it's instagram.com/McMaster Apartheid Divest as one word. Where else can people go to get information about the encampment?
Yeah, so McMaster Apartheid Divest collaborates with McMaster SPHR, aka Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. They're not the primary organizers, but we collaborate with McMaster SPHR, and we also collaborate with QP3906. Those are the main collaborators of the McMaster encampment. There's also Hamilton for Palestine, which has been supporting us in the encampment as well. In terms of information, those are the main sources that really have all, like the main information for that.
And in that case, what can people expect to see in the next 2 or 3 days at the encampment?
Yeah, so every day the programming team kind of just makes the schedule, and they connect with external speakers, and we have lots of great people coming in. And so in terms of the program, every day is different, so I'm not really sure what's going to happen tomorrow. I'd have to check with the programming team. But in the next 2 to 3 days, I think we would just continue to do the same schedule and the same theme of our schedule until we have some sort of, we have more meetings with the university, and until we have some substance or something to say back to the students and relay the message of the administration back to what the university told us at the meetings to the students.
Well, that's a lot of detail. So now I'm glad we had you, of all people, to tell us these things. And I hope people are going to be very informed now going forward, and that they'll be able to look at these websites and such. There's a lot of depth to this encampment. There's history to it. There's precedent to it. Yeah. There's students and professors working together with community and unions, and it's growing. So these are all the things we like to see. So we hope that you are successful going forward.
Thank you.
We'll keep track of this. I know there's, you know, nearby encampments at other universities to talk about as well. So that's a great job. So, Rani, I just wanted to thank you for taking the time.
Of course.
And yeah, we're always happy to help out. So
thank you. Thank you for giving me the platform to speak and spread more information on it.
Oh, that's what we're here for. So that was Rania, and she's with McMaster Apartheid Divest. And as I said, you can find information about that on Instagram.